views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Moms, are you raising your kids to believe they can create the life of their dreams? Are you living your life that way as well? Living an awakened life means more than just talking about it. Join host Debbie Pokornik on Vibrant, Powerful Moms as she shares practical tips, stories, and interviews with enlightened guests, all geared at helping you create and live an extraordinary life. It's time to stand firmly in your power and model the life you want for your kids to inherit. And it all begins now on Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Vibrant Powerful Mom Show. I'm your host, Debbie Pokornik, and my mission is to help you create a life you love at work, at home, and at play. Today, my guest is Lisa Luckett, a beautiful kindred soul who believes that when we shift from seeing ourselves as victims and become the objective observers of our lives, we will go into our days facing life head on in a calm, resilient, assertive position. This is, of course, so aligned with who I am and what I believe that I just had to invite her on the show. So let me tell you a little bit about her. Lisa is a social visionary, an activist for kindness, and an advocate of gaining wisdom by experiencing life head on. Her mantra, Choose Courage, is the foundation of her social vision, reminding us that we are strong, resilient, and have a choice in how we live our lives. As a 9/11 widow, single mother of three, and breast cancer survivor, Lisa knows the value of life struggles and sees the gifts or silver lining in every situation. Lisa believes that life is happening for us, not to us, and sees that life's lessons and grace lie within the struggle. An expert in emotional preparedness, Lisa Luckett is a voice of reason in the chaos. She's an award-winning author, inspirational speaker, and founder of Cosmina Enlightened Living, a brand of kindness. Lisa, welcome to the Vibrant Powerful Mom Show.
Hi, Debbie. It is so nice to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, no problem at all. I'm looking very forward to this. I'm already loving the conversation we had before the show. So
Me too.
It's going to be good.
Yes.
So I do always like to start by having you share just a few things about yourself that our audience can relate to. So maybe a snippet of your story as it relates to being a vibrant, powerful mom.
Okay. So when I think about jumping into the middle of it, I was a mother, a later mother at 33. Mm-hmm. I had a 15-year career in New York and Denver. And so I kind of got in it late. Well, by that time, I was so caught up in being a career person that it took a lot for me to shift to being just a mom. When I came home, I was pregnant with my second child. Mm-hmm. My daughter was 2.5. And, you know, the journey that I took when my husband died in 9/11, my daughter was then 7 and my son was 4 and my baby was 4 months. Well, what happened in all of those years before 9/11 actually gave me all of the life experience or much life experience so that I could go in my story and figure out, find something good to spin the 9/11 experience so that we could countermand the terrorism. So my wake up call was, wait a minute. There is no way I'm going to let Teddy and all the others die in vain. I will make something good come from this. This is my life's journey. I did not know then I was setting the single greatest intention of my life. Mm-hmm. It would take me on this journey to this place today and be talking to you and your audience. But as far as being a powerful, vibrant mom, I had to do it for my kids.
Yes.
Things got very simple that morning. It was about them.
Mm.
So that's, if that helps set this up a little bit.
Yes, beautiful. And congrats, by the way, on your first book, which I believe you published about a year ago. It's been winning awards, I saw just recently.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
So quite an undertaking for anyone who's done it, for sure.
Isn't it? Yes, I have a couple under my belt as well. So I know they take a lot of work. The book is called The Light in 9/11, Shocked by Kindness, Healed by Love. And it describes how 9/11 became the catalyst for you to experience remarkable personal growth. So why don't you tell us a bit about why you wrote it, or what feels most relevant to you right now about that?
So the reason I wrote it was the story is so big, and I had such a strangely positive experience within this traumatic horror of the kindness of strangers, mm-hmm. of shifting to see the positive in every situation, because it's always there. Mm-hmm. And so the book, what turned out to be an 18-month project, writing it wrong the first time and then turning around and correcting it and writing it the second time, actually the second time I dove into it, I realized it's actually 3 books in order to tell the story I wanted to tell. So this is a memoir, and most of, you know, at this time, any mom reading it can relate to lots of it. I mean, it starts out basically, you know, I'm 40 years old, lactating, third kid, miserable, having the worst day of my life, and then the next day my husband dies. But the point is that, you know, everybody is struggling. Everyone has a trauma or a tragedy, and it's relative to your life. It doesn't have to be 9/11. I mean, that's just an extreme. But any trauma, that's taking you out on that spectrum of experience. So here's your question. Instead of turning around and saying, whoa, wow, ow, ow, why is this happening to me? You shift instead and you say, wait a minute, why is this happening for me? What am I being shown? What can I learn? And I'm not saying that it's going to offset the pain of the tragedy or the trauma. That's there.
Absolutely.
But it will give you this kind of counterbalance that keeps you from tipping into the abyss. And anyone who's been through trauma or tragedy understands also that acute, intense pain, given time, changes and morphs and shifts its gears so that you can see things really differently. And in fact, I believe that pain is an opener, that it wouldn't be in nature if it wasn't meant to be here. Mm. And maybe it's a vortex to receive.
Nice. Something nice and deep to contemplate right off the hop.
We only go deep here. There's no cocktail talk in my life, so.
Well, you know, when you have a story like that too, there's just so much power in it. And I think a lot of people, you know, they can hear a person's story and they can think, oh yeah, okay, so it was rough for you, but it couldn't have been that rough because, you know, look how well you're doing now. Look how vibrant you are now. But when you're talking about 9/11, the piece with that is for a lot of people, they can go right back there. They can think about where they were in that moment, what it meant to them, how it felt to them, and that's without even having someone they love die in it. So the fact that you're able to take that and say, okay, you know what? I have to be able to turn things around, as you mentioned right to me. And I can't remember if you mentioned it on air or off, but you know how you needed to do that for the kids, you know, and you realize this is just what I need to do. So I love that you took it as the gift that it was. And I say that so carefully because I know there's people listening mm-hmm. going, ugh, how do you say that's a gift? But I also know you get it. So,
well, you know, it's funny that you're saying that because actually what something just crossed my mind that I've really never thought about before, which is amazing, mm-hmm. which is maybe it's not that these happen to us. They're actually given to us.
Yes.
That these experiences are given to us as a challenge, right? It's a struggle. Yes. Like my mantra is, one of my many, is that life is a classroom. And the struggles are the lessons, that we're not here to achieve happiness. Happiness is absolutely what we all want, but we're actually here to struggle because we're here to learn. We're in this third dimension from as a spiritual entity having a physical experience to learn. We've set this up. You know, this is the scenario we are going to live through, these probabilities. We, you know, so it's all in how we phrase it and how we choose to see it. And that's the point of my book, is that we have a choice in how we look at this stuff. I'm not saying it's easy, and I'm not saying it ever goes away. I mean, I think I've mentioned to you, Deb, when we talked before, I just went through something really devastating with one of my kids. And it was just behavior. It was the world we're in. And it was 2 years. So it's not that the struggles don't keep coming. It's just how you handle them.
Absolutely.
How you recover and what you learn and the wisdom and the, you know, you become more solid. You become more confident. But yes, in those moments, those dark nights of the soul, it is.
It's tough. Dark. Absolutely.
It is. Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, I often liken it to a game of snakes and ladders, and the whole idea that you're at the bottom of a ladder at that moment. And yeah, it's dark there and it feels awful. And the amount of work to get up that ladder, you know, just sometimes doesn't even feel worth it. But boy, if you do, you cut the game in half, so to speak, right? You just go leaps and bounds ahead of where you would have been. So,
and so much of this, I think, in our culture is so much about achieving, right? It's about climbing, go. Well, sometimes you can't get out of bed.
Yes.
And you have to be okay with that.
Absolutely.
And that's okay. Part of that is giving yourself permission and the self-love and self-care that comes with not criticizing and not judging. Because one of the things I've learned, if I've learned nothing else, it is to trust the process. And the process will work. And it's when we get desperate and we lose our faith in the process that problems come. The drinking comes. The drugs come. The panic comes. The needing. We are so compulsive in our culture to do something.
Yes.
When sometimes there's nothing you really can do except hang on.
Right. So we often will opt for dull the pain, whatever we can to dull the pain. Yes. Okay. We can go down that rabbit hole, but I'm going to instead bring us back.
Okay.
I want to talk about the kindness part because that is just such a beautiful piece. And I love how you brought it out, defined it, and have done so much with it. So how does it heal and how do you feel that kindness is playing a part in our world today?
So super great question. And this is my answer. So I believe in all of these traumas, in everything, small to large, that people show up for you, but they don't necessarily show up in the order that you think they will. In other words, my experience, I thought I was raised by a culture that said, your family's going to be there for you. Something happens, family will be there, family. My parents and my in-laws were blown further apart. We were already dysfunctional on both sides. 9/11 just made wherever you were broken break further.
Right.
So they caused me more trouble than help. And so it was the kindness of strangers for me. It was from everyone listening to this, anyone who sent me love, anyone who thought of my kids, anyone who, gosh, people sent money and gifts and flowers and cards and for years and years and years and years. I mean, no one is supported in the world like a 9/11 family. And, you know, so it's the kindness aspect comes from the second piece, which is you have to let people help you.
Yeah.
And that's another part of our culture, is we have been cultured to power through it and be stoic and I don't need any help. Well, if something happens, like 9/11 is a very gigantic example, but if something happens in a cult, in a community, someone dies, it's well loved, that affects everyone. Mm-hmm. And everyone feels it. And the truth is, we're all going to be that person one day, or we're going to have that happen to us one day. So what it creates is a cycle, and a cycle of help, or a cycle of healing, or a cycle of grieving or receiving, whichever one you want to use. If you don't let those people help you, you are keeping them from feeding their souls.
Yes.
Because it's how we heal.
Absolutely. And it feels so beautiful to help someone else.
Yeah.
You know, when you go out of your way and you do that, it feels so nice. So you can feel the healing aspect of it.
That's how you dissipate the pressure. That's how you dissipate the energy. It's a massaging, if you will.
Yes.
And, you know, so that's why I received for, and I still do to this day on 9/11, you know, I've turned 9/11 around to be a day of when people ask me what I do, I spend the day receiving love.
Nice.
Like, how can that ever be bad?
Right.
people just reach out to me. So, you know, you can reframe. So the kindness aspect, what I said in my TED talk a few years ago was this: we as humans can only imagine the worst case scenario of someone dying, of a diagnosis, of a sick child. We never imagine the grace and beauty and magnanimous care that comes and flanks us in the form of kindness of strangers. Mm-hmm. And it always comes.
Beautiful. Beautifully said. So in line with this then, tell me about Cosmina Enlightened Living, because it's pretty amazing.
So Cosmina, my little brand of kindness, this is why there's three books, because in the beginning, when I was telling you, you know, I determined that there was no way I would let Teddy and all the others die in vain. Mm-hmm. I'm a warrior.
Yes.
I didn't really know it then. But within the first couple of weeks, this power, this strength came up from within me. Now, I didn't know I was a warrior then. I knew I was, had a few personality disorders and some anger issues based on the dysfunctional upbringing, but I didn't know what that really meant. What that really meant was I wasn't going to go down.
Right.
And I had to get my kids through this. And so I realized the only way to make something good come from this, which is like an insane statement, was I had to figure it out. And when I say it, I had to figure everything out.
Right.
And the only way I knew to do that was to go to the analyst's couch. The way I describe it is 9/11 is the equivalent of having every emotional bone in your body broken simultaneously.
Oh my gosh.
You would go to the doctor for your bones. Mm-hmm. So I went to the doctor for my mind. Mm. And for 4 years, I dug through my relationships, my experiences, any concept that was personal, global, cultural, national, you know, whatever. I looked at everything. I happened to find a world-class therapist behind the grocery store in my little town in coastal New Jersey. A world-class Freudian therapist off the west side of Manhattan. I mean, there are good people everywhere. And
yes,
that's another really important thing to know. We don't have to go to these city centers. There's good people everywhere. And the universe is always providing for us. And
yes,
those people cross your paths when you need them, always.
Yes.
So that's part of back to the trust. But so to figure it out. So I spent 4 years digging and digging and digging until one day, I don't know what she said. I don't know what I said, but I sat bolt upright on the couch and I went, oh my God, I've got it. We just have to be nice. Mm. And I saw it. I saw all the domino, all the puzzle pieces fall into place. I saw, you know, post 9/11, I saw this burned out wasteland within days of with sprigs of green coming up.
Right.
In these visual images. And, you know, so breaking through what I realized, I second breath after, oh my gosh, we just have to be nice, was who's taking care of women?
Yes.
Because at that time, this is 2005, long before the Me Too movement, mm-hmm, I had middle-aged, like elementary school kids, and we were all running around with our hair on fire.
Yes.
And no, it didn't seem that anyone was getting any kind of self-care or giving themselves permission for self-care. Everything we were cultured as, Deb, you and I, our generation in our late 50s, where I am 59, was if I asked for something, I was selfish.
Yes.
And that was cultured from my grandmother and her mother before that and my mother. And, you know, women were cultured to take care of everyone else. Mm-hmm. And so this was really swimming upstream here to even go to analysis. I mean, there was so much shame in that.
Yes.
There was so much shame in mental health. We've come a long way in these 18, 19 years. And because actually of 9/11, one of the silver linings of 9/11 is the fact that more and more people are now open to therapies, open to emotional healing modalities. Emotional intelligence is becoming a forefront of thought, finally. You know, but we just haven't had time. We haven't been pushed to get there. You know, it takes a trauma to open up something to recognize we need new thinking. And if 9/11 can be reframed as a birth canal, which is always bloody and painful and scary, mm-hmm, maybe we can use it more proactively. Like, let's look at the good things that have happened since then.
Yes.
And of course, instead of just the fear.
Right.
Because there's, you know, that's been pretty loud and overwhelming.
Well, and it's very easy to go into that place of fear, and then that takes you to wanting to numb out, right?
Yeah, sure.
But
and feeling so helpless, I think.
Yes. So. Well, exactly. No, I used to be part of a trauma team, and that's exactly what we did, was try to go in and help people to find some sort of normalcy again. You know, right. but an improved normalcy. I love what you said. My instructor often talked about it as a wound, and going in and cleaning that wound before letting it start to heal. Otherwise, it just kind of festers in there, and you're going to have to rip it open at some point.
Well, it does so, fester. And it's funny, in the book, I use that analogy. I use the analogy of a ball of string, and when the psyche, it gets into the psychology a little bit, but basically something happens and it's registered as a good or a bad thing. And, but then another layer of yarn, another life experience, oh my gosh, comes over, and another life experience comes and layers over it without exercising, if you will, that the negative experience out, it creates a bump.
Yes.
And so it starts to reshape your psyche. And so instead of this round ball of yarn, you get this very misshapen, you know, craggly, you know, rock. And we can undo that. Like, and that's what analysis does, is it basically peels back. People say onions. I don't think onions have nearly enough layers. So I use a ball of yarn or a ball of string. Each of those strings is an experience, each of those wraps. And so as you're unwrapping that, it's the most interesting thing you can do in your life is study your life. Mm-hmm. It's not to blame. It was never about blaming. It was just trying to figure out the why. Why was I in these situations all the time? Why was I creating the same experience in my interpersonal situations? Mm-hmm. Why was I not succeeding socially the way I wanted to?
Beautiful.
Why? And it's rooted in root childhood, and not a blameful thing. You know, parents are all doing their best. Mm-hmm. Every mom out there listening, every parent out there in the world, nobody gets up every day in the morning and goes, you know, I'm going to like be average today. I'm just going to be mediocre. We're all doing our best based on what we have.
Yeah. Yeah. Or I'm going to ruin my kid.
Right.
I'm just going to make him have to go to therapy for life. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But
we really all do have the best intentions.
We really do. And we're doing the best we can with what we know. And life really is like a bunch of rapids. And so you have to prepare yourself as best you can for those rapids without living in fear of them and thinking that they're somehow punishment or a problem. So.
Or look at them as exciting.
Yes.
And I love your analogy. Rapids is really great because, yeah, they're coming, but lean in. So that's the whole point of your introduction and what we were talking about is, my feeling is if you shift and you say just shift one little word and it will change your life. You change the preposition of two to four. Instead of life happening to you, it's happening for you. What does that mean? What that means is it's going to shift you to an offensive position where you're leaning in instead of teetering on the edge of the abyss, afraid and scared and, oh my gosh, you know, and in defensive posture where, you know, so doesn't it feel better to be 5 feet back, firmly planted, waiting for the next, ready and prepared? Mm-hmm. And that's the benefit of understanding the difference between those two words.
Absolutely. That's actually one of my favorite sayings, has been for many years. And I just think it is so critical when we can change our way of thinking from, oh, why is this always happening to me? To, this is happening for me. What does that mean? What do I do with it? Right. Love
what
it.
What do I do with this? Exactly. Like this is being, and again, it's because of, you know, we're at this really cool place, if you can, you know, get around the fear factor, of opportunity of shifting how we do things, how we see things, how we handle things. And the rules that were given to us were not our rules to set. These are limiting beliefs that are being carried forward, you know, epigenetically, but the training of the past generations. And I say this to a lot of anybody who will listen, is anybody who's 40, give or take 40 or over, is making decisions based on the past.
Yes.
Anybody 40 and younger is making decisions based on the future.
Uh-huh. So who's in the present moment? By golly.
Well, we're in the present moment if we're along, you know, in these lines of enlightened thinking. And that's ultimately back to Cosmina and the kindness. And it's because I received so much kindness after my first 40 years of no one ever being nice to me. Not my family members, not my school. I was bullied from the beginning to the end. Hmm. And as a result, then I attracted bullies, right? Then you attract what you know. The root of Cosmina and that breakthrough that day on the analyst couch at year 4 was because no one had ever been nice to me. Hmm. Not my mother, not my father. Like, my family was not, like, I just didn't have very many nice people around me. And as a result, you attract what you know. So I go out into the world and now I'm bullied at school. And then I attract bullying everywhere I go, businesses. Right. And now I'm a fighter. So I'm coming back against it, but I'm not successful emotionally to myself.
No.
And what 9/11 did, which is the craziest part, is guess what? Everyone in the world was nice to me.
Yes. So it forced you to see that.
Well, and I received it, welcomed it.
Yes.
I welcomed it. Talk about being given something. It's something beautiful. Told me, my intuition, which is part of the whole story, is all the whole intuitive. Wow. Mm. My gosh. My entire experience was intuitive. I didn't know it then. I can tell you that now. But to know to keep my door open, to know to allow people in to see me, was all being taught to me, given to me by the universe. But it allowed people to be nice to me.
Right.
And you know what? Given enough time, guess what?
What?
9/11 healed me.
Nice. Now, can you believe, like, we're right out of time?
Yeah, I believe it.
Oh, I can't. I want to go on for a long time yet. So let me tell people how to find out more about you. Sure. You can find out more about Lisa by going to lisaluckett.com. So that's LISALUCKETT.com. And as usual, that will be on the vibrantpowerfulmoms.com website on the blog attached to this show. And you can pick up a copy of her award-winning book, The Light in 9/11, by going to Amazon. And I'd imagine it's available all over the place. I've also put a bit.ly link on my blog, which is bit.ly/VPM Lisa Luckett, which will take you right to that book on Amazon.com. So, Lisa, thank you so much for joining us on the show today and sharing your story. And I mean, there is just so much more there that we could dive into. I'm going to encourage people to get your book, read your book, and probably get a lot of information from that. And maybe you would consider coming on at a later time, and we could dig even deeper.
I would love to talk to you anytime, Deb. It's been a pleasure meeting you, and it's my honor to speak with you and your audience today.
Nice.
Thank you so much.
Oh, well, thank you once again. And a big thank you to you, my listeners, with much respect for you and the journey you are on. This is Debbie Pokornik and her guest, Lisa Luckett, wishing you a vibrant and powerful day.
You've been listening to Vibrant Powerful Moms with host Debbie Pokornik. If you've enjoyed this show, please share it with others to help spread the love. To find out more about Debbie, pick up free offers from the show, and listen to previous episodes, visit vibrantpowerfulmoms.com.